The Old Testament reading for this resurrection of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from their faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. In you, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The conceit of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter morning liturgically is that they are all one service, a liturgical three-in-one. We moderns certainly have our rituals, but we just don't think ritually anymore. It's one of the reasons I think that we are prone to bad habits, because we don't pay attention to developing habits at all. That's a sermon for another day. What I really want, besides just some banter to get the jitters of preaching on Easter morning out, is to retrieve a theme from Good Friday. Mark's passion account is a twofold apocalypse or revelation. Jesus, the perfect man, walked willingly to that cross. The immediate result of Jesus' willful action is the revelation that humanity, at all of its levels, religious, political, and common, cannot will the good. The priests rejected the truth. Pilate spurns justice. And everybody turns to the common cruelty of mocking the condemned. There's nothing in us, nothing when it really mattered, worth saving. Yet here is the Son of God, the perfect man, becoming sin for us, bearing all of it. And after he has borne our griefs, he leaves with the cry of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's been common since the 19th century to hear the words of those cries as a humanly deluded Jesus. Albert Schweitzer, some may recognize that name still, probably as a famous missionary medical doctor, but Dr. Schweitzer contained multitudes. Early in his life, he was famous for being a touring organist. And somehow, sandwiched between, he had a career as a theologian before becoming that medical doctor. And he published one book as a theologian, and it's still read today. And it has a certain wide influence. He came at the conclusion of what was called the quest for the historical Jesus, the desire to know not the Jesus that we find in scriptures, but to know the real Jesus. And from his conclusion, the Son of Man lays hold of the wheel of the world to set it moving on its last rotation, which is to bring all ordinary history to a close. It refuses to turn. He throws himself upon it. Then it does turn. It crushes it. Instead of bringing in the eschatological conditions, he has destroyed them. The wheel rolls onward, and the mangled body of the one immeasurably great man who was strong enough to think of himself as the spiritual ruler of mankind, to bend history to his purpose, is hanging upon it still. That is his victory and his reign. And it's right there, Dr. Schweitzer's words, that drove a wedge between the Jesus of history and the Christ of faith. The Jesus of history was a semi-mad eschatological prophet who failed to bring about the end. But the Christ of faith is found in the belief that this immeasurably great man, that we ourselves, could bring about the eschaton. The man Jesus may have been crushed by those wheels, But in faith and following his examples, we will make it happen. And every social gospel cause or evangelical call to a pure faith since then has been a descendant of that theology. Instead of the last realization of a deluded man, I want you to imagine that cry of dereliction as the challenge, as Abraham bargaining with God over Sodom, as Moses multiple times pleading with God not to destroy all of Israel. Surely the complete failure of all mankind at Golgotha should have told Dr. Schweitzer that his scheme was hopeless. We cannot bring about the eschaton. That entire summation of humanity that beat him, crucified him, and punctured him was worthy of being wiped out. Yet Jesus asked, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." Like Abraham pleading for 50, Jesus pleads for mercy for the entire world. But Jesus doesn't just stop at mercy. Jesus asks for more from his Father. "Father, is this where it ends? That mangled body hanging upon it still? Is this the justice of the Father? Have you forsaken me? Or will you bring in the eschaton?" And Mary Magdalene, and Mary, and the mother of James and Joseph and Salome brought spices, leaving it, they would have understood, Schweitzer. They came to anoint a mangled body. They wondered who would roll away the stone. Everything, all of history and all of hope was sealed in that tomb. Nobody that we know had escaped that. It seems to be the common end of all men. The real eschaton, until that morning, was that cold slab. But they get there early in the morning, and the stone is already rolled back. So these three brave women enter the tomb, and in it they find a young man dressed in a white robe, and he proclaims the eschaton to them. He proclaims that the Father has answered Jesus' challenge. "No, I have not forsaken my Son. I will not just leave him on that cold slab. Nor have I forsaken his brothers and sisters. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? Then go, tell his disciples. You will see him too, just as he told you." We have no ability to bring in the eschaton or the end, regardless of the purity of our faith. We have no ability to bring heaven to earth or take ourselves to heaven. But the Father raised Jesus. And the tomb is broken. The door stands open. We will see him. Go tell everybody. Jesus has won his bargaining with God. He stood with us, took our punishment, and the Father accepted it as done. The new world would start that day. It would start today at the Father's will. And it's that new world, a kingdom not of our making, an eschatology not of our design, that we, Paul, Peter, and the apostles, and everybody else, that we proclaim. The God of mercy and grace sits at the right hand of the Father. The pall that is cast over all peoples, that veil that is spread over all nations, death has been swallowed up forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The Lord has spoken. He's risen. But the Gospel of Mark is a unique one in another way. It doesn't really narrate a resurrection appearance. The resurrection is proclaimed. Today is the first day of that new creation. The man in white robe told those three women, and it's not that different from how the resurrection comes to all of us. Comes first to us in the Word. He's risen. The kingdom of God is now here. Take and eat. This is the feast for all peoples. And this is where Schweitzer wasn't completely off. We have this testimony of the three women, although that might have taken a bit, as Mark says they ran off scared and not talking. More in a bit. We have the testimony of the apostles and of the 500 that saw Jesus and of his brothers, James, and of the other apostles. And we have the testimony of Paul, one abnormally born when he saw the risen Christ on that road to Damascus. We have their testimony. Jesus is risen. But we do have to believe it. Schweitzer's right. It's faith that is the key. But it's not faith in our ability to bring in the kingdom. Because Christ has already brought in the kingdom. It's faith that we have a place in his kingdom. It's faith that this work is for you, that he bore our sins, and that the Father accepted the sacrifice, and that those sins are no more. The call of the empty tomb, the testimony of all those witnesses, is to get over our fear and to walk in faith. It is faith that lets trembling and astonishment give way to hope and love. Our God has saved us. This is the Lord. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. He's risen. Today is the new creation. In Christ, you are a new creation. We might not have been brought to what we will be yet. We still deal with our trembling and astonishment. But the end has come to you today. Christ is risen. And you too will rise. Amen.